many of us can talk about the sickness and heartaches and the difficulties we have living in life. But God has sent a remedy, and he has sent something to us that we need to learn to hold fast to. Because if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of the very creator who have us here. I'm going to say that again because I'm not getting away man's, but it's okay. Because God given me the sight to see the urgency and to warn the people of the time that you're living in. Lackadaisia when it comes to things that pertains to him. But we exalt so many other things but God. We can exalt our sickness, our circumstance, our situation, but God said his name must be exalted among all. Now, granted, it's out of the ordinary, and it's a move that a lot of people might not understand, but here's what I've been reading this last week. Is that Jeremiah had to bring a warning to the people, and the people didn't like him. But Jeremiah was called on a mission from God to speak to the people. So here this morning, here I am with what Second Union has seen in times past as I reminisce on ministry and my calling and the call to us that God has called us as a people to himself, to take this matter seriously and to understand that God is simply saying to everyone in this building who is willing to listen, your time is limited. Each one of us on earth are here for a limited time. And when that time has expired, God said you're going to have to be accountable to him. I want to just preach for you from a simple message, God and his people. God and his people. Some years back, when this burden, a heavy burden of warning came to me to preach to the people, there were a time that some of you may remember we were having worship next door. And we had an evening service, I can remember very vividly, had an evening service to St. Mark Baptist Church. And there was so much stuff going on within the boundaries of the ministry that people were not focusing on God. And God said, I've called you to warn them. Just as I did Jeremiah, I call you. Jeremiah, in his preaching and teaching and prophecy, Jeremiah said himself, he said, I won't do it no more. I refuse to talk to him. I refuse to preach. I refuse to prophesy. But Jeremiah also understood that his calling was not of his own. It was from God. So Jeremiah said this, even when I don't want to do it, it's like fire shut up in my bones. So this warning that I give to you this morning, take it personally and take it seriously. It's not of me, it's from God, and I'm going to show you in the Word of God, and I'm going to show you through revelation that God has shown me that some of us are in grave danger. Because we have exalted everything above God. Everything. Self first. In our society we live in, that's what we exalt first, ourselves. I don't feel like doing it. I ain't up to it. I want to do this. I'm planning to do this. What about God? Where do he fit into your lives? Have you ever stopped to consider what is the destiny of his church? What has happened to the church? What has happened to the people of God? We become so self-absorbed in things of the byproduct rather than the one who gives us the product. We want to be blessed, but we don't want to bless the one who blesses us. We are so caught up in the byproduct. I was doing some cleaning yesterday, and God just dropped this in my spirit. I bought something to clean something with. Anybody ever did any cleaning? You want to clean something and you had to purchase something to clean it. But the cleaner, what I got understood about the cleaner was that it wasn't doing the job, but guess what it had? It had a good smell to it. It smelled like it was clean, but it wasn't clean. Some of us got a Christian aroma, but we ain't clean.
Look out now.
You got to look. You got the words to say. You got the song to sing. You got things that you do in Christ, but you don't have him. It's become painfully obvious that the people who call themselves Christians have lost sight of their Christian identity. We don't even know who we are. Because we want to be like this one. We want to sound like this one. We want to do like this one. We want to be like other people rather than be what God has called us to be. Holy. Holy. People don't like to be called holy. As I view Facebook, people don't talk about holiness. They talk about themselves and they talk about what they're doing and things they're doing, but they don't talk about God. They use profane language. They use all kind of perversions and things other than God. Now, listen, it's going to happen if you're going to see this. Where do God fit into your world this morning? Where do he fit in? Has God become a sideshow or something that when I get time or when I feel like it, how do he fit into the psyche of your world? Before I get into the meat of this word this morning, there is something that I want to share. That even about Jesus in his earthly ministry. And getting back to the reality of focusing on God. Many folk came in today and you say, well, why is he preaching now? Because preaching needs to be done. I'm going to preach. You're going to give your tithes, and we're going home. Are you leaving here? You can do whatever you like. Byproduct. We like byproduct. Well, there are many people who say, well, I'll get there by time the preaching starts. Why? I'll miss the worship side. I miss that. I don't have to do devotion. I don't have to do praying together. That's byproduct. I don't have to do those things. I don't have to do that. I just want to come and do my part. Let me come and do my thing. That's what I'm about. It's about me. I want to do my thing. When I get there, let me do my thing. Even so important that in years past, it was in our church that people would do their thing and leave. Where's the God in that? Again, you've heard this once and you hear it again. We spend more time preparing to get here than we actually want to be here. We made more preparations to make ourselves, to adorn ourselves, than to send up aroma to Christ. We sent clothes to the cleaner. We laid our clothes out. We had preparation of mind what we were going to cover our bodies with, more so than covering our soul. Get this now. Follow me if you will. We live in a hustle-bustle society by choice. We make our society hustle and bustle. We do what we want when we want to. But I want you to listen closely to a young Jesus. And he said about his purpose and his calling as in his young life. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke 2. Luke 2nd chapter, 46 verse. I'm going to read from you to the New King James Version of the Bible, and I'm going to read from you the message part of the version of the Bible. Luke 2, 46. You don't have to stand. You don't have to stand because I want to teach this to you if you can, if you're willing to receive it. So the Bible says in Luke 2, 46, now, so it was after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Watch this now. This is the part. "But they did not understand the statements which he spoke to them." Now, let me read you the message version of that, because the message version, it talks plain to us, and we understand that. The message version says something like this. "The next day they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them, asking questions. The teachers were quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers, but his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. His mother said, 'Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you.' He said, 'Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here dealing with the things of my father?'" Watch this, how they put this. "But they had no idea what he was talking about." Christians in the church have no idea. None. No, absolutely no idea what's going on. Just lullabying through life. Have no earthly idea that the devil has put you in a trap and a daze. And God said, "You have no idea. Don't you remember you're here to do my father's business?" That's your purpose. That is our purpose. That is our purpose. That's uno number one. I'm here to do the will of the Father. Why? Because he's the creator. He made me. He put me here. I'm under his control. Everything about me is about him. Well, then some people say, "Well, what do you want us to do? Just come to church all the time? What do you want us to do? Just talk Jesus all the time?" No. That's not what it's about. If you would look at the scripture that says in, Lord have mercy, Matthew 6 and 31, it said, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat or drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of things." You catch that? Yes, God knows you have need of things. He know you have, he have needs of things of the world. God knows that, but he tells us if you do the first things first. But he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness." Guess what he said? He said, all the other things, all these needs that you've been praying about, you've been seeking me about, if you seek me first, guess what? I'll take care of those things. Pastor, what, man, some people probably say, what is this man going on about? I'm sending a warning. I'm sending a warning. It's just that simple. And then you know what? What I in my flesh, I simply said, they ain't going to like it. They ain't like Jeremiah. They didn't like Ezekiel. And even more so, they didn't like Jesus. And many of you going around trying to get people to like you and God is despising your ways because you're seeking to get people to like you. Oh, heavy hallelujah. Jesus knew his great knowledge and understanding of whom he is, and he knew who he had to be accountable to. God, the Father. Now, some of you probably say, that's too much, too heavy for me to understand. We required it of our own children. I'm your father. Listen to what I have to say. I'm your mother. And then, you know, there's some people who said this, that I heard this said before. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out of this world. That's what people say. But God loves us so much until he sends these warnings. And he just, it's not something recently that God sends warnings. And he sent warning to his people. Saints of God, you've got to remember something about doing the will of the Father. You've got to remember it's not about yourself. We have a tough time forsaking ourselves because we put ourselves in such high plateau. It's about us. It's about what makes us feel. It's about us. Many of us, isn't that the byproduct? God bless us with byproducts, and we're loyal to the byproduct more to the producer. I got to get to work in the morning. Oh, Lord, y'all don't know I got to be to work in the morning, and I got to be there on time. That's a byproduct. The product is saying, what about me? Reverence me. Take time with me. You don't understand. I got to have this. This outfit is so important. I got to have it. I got to have this for my children. My children have to have these things. But God said, what about me? Lord, I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed of you. I want good health. But Lord said, if I grant you that, what you going to do with it? If I grant you good health, how much you going to exalt me? How many of you realize that God does these things that we might be a light for the world to see? That's what it said in the scripture. He said, you are the light of the world. You are a city set out on the hill to be seen of man. Why? Because it glorifies God. A person that's been sick and recovered, your testimony is as such. It's to be that, you know what? God has blessed me. God has been mighty good to me. Look at me. I'm evidence of the power of God. Some men will never see the goodness of God, but they see it through us. And what are you showing? His people. How is your persistence? How is your faith? How is your loyalty and your commitment to our God? No, no, no. It sickens me when I hear people say things like, that's not me. Now, you don't belong to yourself. I can't do it. That ain't how I work. No, but I want to know how God wants me to tick. How he wants me to work. I gave my life to him. I no longer belong to me. I know that's harsh news to some people because I'm going to be me. Isn't that what you say? I'm going to be me. Well, you keep right on being me and the pits of hell is wide open for you. Because God is not going to take second fiddle to none of us. It's his way or no way. I said, Lord, I want to know. I want to know what was going on before the church came into existence. I wanted to know. I wanted to know. I wanted to know, Lord. I want to know what was the people of God lack before the church. Because the church has gotten all screwed up. The church has gotten screwed up. Listen, why do you say that, preacher? Because there are churches all across these lands, international lands, that are gathering with all the wrong reasons in mind. Amen. I'm a big component of byproducts, worship. I'm a big component of praising God. I'm a big component of praise dancing and praise singing, and I'm a big component of good authentic and good homiletic preaching. And I'm a big component of preaching. I'm big on that, but I'm bigger on the component of God. Him first. There are people who fall out in church because things ain't go right in the byproduct. And they can't get along, and they forget about the Creator. Choir members can't get along. I wanted to wear the green outfit. Why we can't wear our robes? Why we can't sing this song? Or why we singing this? Why I can't sing my song? Yeah. Amen, somebody. Why we got to sing during this time of the service? We ought to have this. We ought to be doing this. Why our church can't do this? Well, the Bible tells me that the footsteps of a good man is ordered by God. It's all about God. If people would get in their mind to understand that if without God, I wouldn't even be here. You wouldn't be here. Our thought process wouldn't even be regulated if we didn't have God. He's in full control of it all. Awesome devotion this morning. Awesome devotion this morning about worrying. I just want to say one thing about that, then I'm going to move on. It says something like this. If you worry, you don't believe God. Watch this now. He said, if he clothes the lilies of the fields, if he give them what they need, why is it that he won't take care of his own children? Why are you worrying about those things? I tell you why you worry. Because you've come so attached to the byproduct. Until you cling to the byproduct rather than to establish a strong relationship with the one who gave you the product. That's what happened with Jesus' parents. They had clinged to him and not so much as being the Christ, but clinging to him as their child and not so much the one who gave them the child. Sometimes we worry about stuff that is unnecessary. God, if we say God is in control, walk like it. Talk like it. Believe in it. That he is this God. But God's people who claim to be his people, that's why he said in his word, if my people. Now he put, that's a big preposition there. If my people. And God knows that his people weren't going to do it. There are people in this room right now been praying about God, please do this. But God is saying, first of all, seek me. But we don't want to take time to seek me because I got my own agenda in life. I got to take care of this and I got to do this. I got to do. You don't know, I got to be to work. I got to go over here. They're looking for me over here. I got to fix my dinner. Whatever. I don't care what it is. But God says, seek ye first. Me. Turn your Bible to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, let's see, where am I? 36. Ezekiel 36, 17. Notice in the prophecy of Ezekiel, he always make reference to him as son of man. Son of man, he says in Ezekiel 36. 17th verse. When the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. God don't like your ways. Let me let you know something. He don't like it. He don't like your ways nor your deeds. Watch this now. To me, there was like the uncleanness of a woman in customary impurity. I ain't touching that, but some of you got it. I'm going to read it again because this is how God says how he sees the people of Israel, his people now. Can anybody tell me what the subject of the title of the message this morning? God and his people. Now, this is God speaking to his people. Watch what he says. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and their deeds. To me, God says, Their way was like the uncleanliness of a woman in customary impurity. Therefore, God says, I poured out my fury on them for the blood they have shed on the land and for their idols with which they have defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. You know why people ain't together? Because God say you unclean. You come to the church of house, you don't find unity in the church. We can't come together through stuff. Because why? Because we are unclean. Lord have mercy. Boy, I wish you could see the faces and feel the spirits that's in this place today. God says, so I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. God knows you. God knows you now. Don't go around here thinking that God don't know. You can fool some people, but you ain't never fooling God. God knows you. God knows that most of us who make excuses, you're just lazy. Tell it. Y'all don't know how I feel. No, I know you're lazy. God knows your ways and your deeds. We do what we want when we want to do it. That's right. Inconsistency in the house of God. People just do what they want when they want to do it and the times they want to do it. I'm going to take me a month off from the church. Oh, you drawing closer to God? No, I'm just going to work on myself. Lord, help us in this place. He says here, I judge them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nation, wherever they went, watch what he said, they profaned my holy name. How many of you realize that you profane the name of God because you could have professed that you are a child of God? And the way you conduct yourself, God said, you profane my name. One of the things my father used to tell us at home, he used to tell us this all the time, and some of y'all know about it. He said, son, when you leave this house, you represent more than yourself. You represent the whole Scott household. Tell that to your children. That's what God says about us. You represent more than yourself. You represent him. Yeah. Where? He on earth. That's right. So when people see you, they see God. In all of your affairs, they see God. And I want to say something to all these cussing Christians. Your God do not appreciate you using his name in such a way. He didn't raise you that way. That's not his will. And many of us will say this, say to our children, I raised you better than that. Hallelujah. Yeah. And some of us know that how we treat God and how we carry out our way of life and saying that we're a child of God, we bring profane to God. I've heard it said more than once. And you've seen people out there, children playing and doing. And who boy is that? Is that Nathan and Edith's son? And see, the reason I talk about mine, because I don't get in trouble with y'all. I ain't exalting us, because we had our mischief ways, and our family wasn't like a perfect family, but when I use me, I don't get in no trouble. Boy, I'm going to tell your mom and your dad, that's Edith and Nathan's boy. They identify me with my father. Yeah. Don't you know when you go to work and you cussing like the rest of them cuss? You acting like the rest of them act on the job? When you telling people you can't make it, you're simply saying, my God ain't big enough. Tell it. Now, you're a person of God. Now, listen, we all going to go through trials. And didn't we discuss for them five or six people who were here on Wednesday night, didn't we discuss that don't find it strange when you go through hardship? Right. Christians don't understand that concept. Don't find it strange when you go through difficult times and you go through hardships and your body do all kind of things. There are things happening in life. Don't find it strange that you go through this, because the Bible said it's not strange to God. He said you will overcome it. Hallelujah. For all of those people who feel like this darkness, it's always a cloud hanging over. Everything is not right with me. You don't know what God has to say on the matter. How many know it ain't over because you're going through darkness? How many know God is able to take you through those dark times of life? Because we're going to have them. All sickness is not unto death. Hallelujah. When sickness come over your body, you just got to let your body know, listen, this is an opportunity for God to show forth his glory in using me. Hallelujah. My relationship with God is as such to know that this thing have come up upon me, but one thing I realize, my God's with me. It's not going to overtake me. I feel mighty bad right now. Lord, have mercy. Anybody else been in your bed and you couldn't lift your head? Hallelujah, somebody. You got a head and you got muscles in your neck, but you can't lift your head. But let's thank God for the mind to understand that whatever I'm going through, God, I know you're here with me. Bless his holy name. But see, the devil will try to put blindness on us to let us think that this is it. Been there, done that. Anybody ever been to the place where you felt like this is it? Oh, I know I ain't walking by myself. The things can come up against you in your life. You say, this is it. But I thank God for the quickening of the Holy Spirit to let us know that it ain't over till the master says it's over. Well, the people of Israel were going through some things because they profaned the name of the Lord. It says, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But he said, but I have concern for my holy name. God has concern for his name. God has concern for his name. How many know your name means something? You don't mean it mean, you don't think it means something? You go to the bank and try to get a credit. If your name ain't right, if you ain't got a history of a good name, how many know it'll show up? Come on, boy. Y'all ain't following me here. You going in there all big and bad, want to borrow you a few dollars, try to get some things taken care of, you write down your name. And they got something now to attach your identity to your name, call your social security number, to make sure you are who you say you are. Because I've learned over the years that there's more than one Andrew Scott. Yeah, yeah. But there's only one with my social security number. So when I can prove that I'm who I say I am, then they look at me differently. Because they say, I got an Andrew Scott that says, Identity is important to a believer. So Scott can remember this, I'm sure, years back, doorbell rang at the house, late, early one morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Sheriff Department. Andrew Scott? Yes, sir. You Andrew Scott, this is 304 Law Street Drive? Yes, sir. But they say, from Hopkins, South Carolina? No, sir. You got the wrong Andrew Scott. Well, what about this Andrew Scott? He got some baby payments. He didn't make. Isn't it good to know when you ain't guilty? Y'all ain't following me here. Y'all ain't following me here. It's good to know that you done something. Am I preaching to myself? It's good to know you've done something. And when they call you by your name, you have to bow your head. But it's good to know that when some things come along, hallelujah, that ain't me. I ain't the one. Come on, somebody. See, you got to know who you are, and you got to know who you belong to. You got to know where you've been, and this is the main thing. You got to know where you're going. I can't live like hell and expect to go to heaven. How you going to live like the devil and expect to be receive the things of God? How you going to do it? It don't add up. It never add up that way. When you were a kid, it didn't add up. Your parents told you to do something. They say, when you do this, I'm going to reward you with this. You didn't do it. Guess what happened? You get no reward. Why? And they'll bring it to your attention. Didn't I tell you to do this? Didn't God tell you to do some things? How many of you doing it? His way. Back in the day, some of you probably, I know you don't remember this. Back in the day, believe it or not, they used to sweep the yards. Some of y'all don't know about that. Some of y'all do. Yeah, a brush broom, they called it. Sweep the yards. I ain't think it make no sense at all. But obviously, my grandmama did. They would show you and give you the technique on how to do it. And the beauty of it, when it's finished, it had an art form to it. Curve this way, curve that way. But it's all in the routine of how you brush. Because when you brush one way, when you turn around, you're going to brush the opposite direction. So you form a format. My grandma would just be sitting on the porch, rocking, ain't saying a word. She stopped rocking, just kind of peep over. Go back to rocking. I'm going to put the broom up. Job ain't finished. You didn't do it the right way. Why is it people who come, say they're people of God, and don't do it the right way? The Bible says there is a way that is right among yourselves. But there is a way that's right upon God. And the Bible says it's a narrow way. So some people got to understand, you can't boogaloo and go this way. You got to walk upright. Come on, somebody. You can't do a little dab, a little bit of this and a little dab of that and expect to go in a narrow way. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. Do I have anybody understanding what I'm preaching to you? That you got to understand. Every day of my life, every day of your life, you got to keep your eyes on the prize. That's why we sing that song. When I woke up this morning, I had my mind on the prize. Stay there. I'm about finished. The Bible says, but I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel, his people now, had profaned among the nations. Wherever they went. Therefore said the house of Israel, thus said the Lord, watch this now, I do this for your sake. I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake. God's name going to be preserved. If you don't want to do it, God said, I can't bless you. I can't give you the byproducts because I got to preserve my name. Some people feel like, oh, well, if I just get emotional with the Lord, if I do a snotty nose prayer, God will hear me. If I cry hard enough, if I call his name loud enough, if I do these things, I'll get his attention. But God is simply saying, you have profaned my name. And I'm going to do these things for my name's sake. Yeah. Finally. He said, I'm going to do that among the nations wherever you have gone. God said, although you screw it up, I'm going to fix it. My name going to be preserved. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be exalted. That's why he said in the latter day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord. He's going to preserve himself when other people have dismantled him and profaned him and just do all manner of things against him and his church. Now, I didn't even get much into the church today, but that's next time. We profane God's church. How? By our ways and our deeds. What are you talking about, preacher? Listen, on Wednesday night when we had class, when five or six people showed up in our teaching to understand, he said, Peter talked about where he called to be overseers. And it's the responsibility of an overseer is to overlook. It's a sad state when dads are stopped overlooking their own household. I ain't the man I used to be. It takes me a while. I got a little rolling cart. Now I have to do stuff. I can't just do it, just jump up and do stuff. But when things happen in my house, it's my responsibility to take care of it. Yeah. I know I ain't talking to nobody in here. Because, see, some men don't, they call on their wife, you need to go fix that sink. Then lost sight of who you are. If you're going to be the man, be him. That comes with the territory. And God is simply saying to his church, I'm the man. You need something, I'm going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. I got your back. This is what God is saying to us. But he said, you got to stay under the covering. When you get from under the covering, God say, listen, you out on your own. Stay up on the cover. Look around the room this morning. Look around the room. I mean, I literally want you to look at the young people that's in here. They getting from under the covering. What good can come of that? What good can come of that? When young people don't know and understand that they have a God to serve and a God to glorify. Young people don't understand that one day they're going to have to answer to God, and they're simply saying, well, you don't know, you don't know, I'm young, you ain't, but I've been young. And I ain't getting old simply because I did everything right. But the Bible said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. So listen, in this closing of this segment of this preaching, God and his people got to understand, who is God? Who is God to you? That's where you got to start, right there. Who is God to me? Is he just a couple of hours on Sunday? Or is he a God just when you're in trouble and when you need something? But is he the God of your life, even in good times, even in difficult times, even in times when you don't understand? God is still God. Even in things that when you don't completely understand how it's getting to be where it is, God is saying, if you just trust in me, it'll work out. In my final closing statements, God has a plan. Do you believe that? Y'all know this about me. Some of you do. I'm a big Western. Boy, there's gonna be some good ones come on Saturday morning, too. Western. Good Western. Ain't nothing fancy about no Western. Westerns are so not Hollywood until you can see the man hand ain't touched the man. Good Western. One thing about a good Western is this. It tells a story about the good guy. And the good guy generally prevails. But during that hour or whatever time, during that limited time, the good guy go through some stuff. Good guy get messed up, kicked on, stomped on, family get killed. But the good guy prevail at the end. And here's the good part about the Westerns, when it's all said and done, when the little music come on, not digital sound, just rough old music, you see him on his horse, riding in the sunset. Because in spite of everything he's been through, everything's all right. Let me tell you something about God. He knows the story. Yes, he knew the story before it happened. Yes, and he knows the ending. No, let me back up a bit. He knows the climax, and he knows the difficult times during the story of our lives. I wouldn't serve a God who didn't know, who would be caught on surprise when things come up. Well, how am I going to serve God, a God that's surprised when trouble comes? But God knows. That's why he said in his word, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lead to your own understanding. Because your understanding will take you all kind of places. Am I right here? You know what your understanding will do. Oh, Lord, I can't make it. I'm falling apart. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, Lord, I'm acknowledging you. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm acknowledging you. Lord, I'm sick on my bed, on my back. I can't understand. Lord, I want to get better, but I'm acknowledging you. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. And the path of righteousness, the path of righteousness is clear. And victory is in it. How many of you know? You got the victory. You got it. You got victory already. There's still time on the clock. You got victory. Oh, I know you're down by 12. And there's only 53 seconds left. But it ain't over yet. The devil think he got you. Come on, somebody. He worked you over pretty good all week long. But you got to let him know the clock ain't over yet. The timekeeper still got me. Am I preaching to anybody here? I'm a child of God, and God said, and I put you in your hand, no man can snatch you from me. So you got to be knowing who hands you in. And if your hand's in the Lord's hand, you always got hope. You always got a possibility that this thing might not end the way it looks. If you hold on to God's unchanging hand, do I have any witnesses here? Yeah. Anybody know anything about holding on to God when everything else has released you? God will make a way. Just when it seems like it was over. Come on, NBA fan. Just when you already cut the TV off and thought the game was finished.
Yeah, how about that?
Only to wake up the next morning and find out your team won by one. Yes, but it looked bad. I know I'm preaching to somebody in here. Things had looked bad for you. It looked mighty tough for you, but you got to remember, who's the keeper? God is the keeper of all things. Now get this preaching today. Now, look what time it is. I'm letting you out. I'm through. I'm letting you out of here. Musicians ain't got to play today. They ain't going to get paid, too. Tell me that ain't a good deal. I wish I could go to work in the morning and say, go home. I just want to tell you this, go home now, but I'm going to pay you. Byproduct. That's what it is. I love y'all so much that I tell you, have to tell you the truth. I can tickle your ears. I know how to do that. All I got to do is get Brother Superior to give me a C flat. I can tickle your ears. Or D flat, E flat, G. And we can roll that thing a little bit and now get me a few. I can tickle your ears, but it's time, y'all. It's serious. Our children are at danger. They're almost a species. That's a species of children. Now there's a generation of children that's just lost. They just lost. And we having a good time, and yet we don't know what we're shouting about. It's serious business. Look at these fine, beautiful children. They deserve a chance. They deserve a chance. Even how we clothe them looking so pretty and how they conduct themselves is fine, but we got to clothe them with the things of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Get them in Sunday school.
Yeah.
Send them to let them. They went to school all week long, 5 days. I ain't got to remind some of me. They know. Don't remind me, Pastor. I was there. But we can't send them one day, for an hour, to be teach the things of God. They're going to need it.
Yes, sir.
Lord, have mercy. They're going to need it.
Yeah.
They're going to need it, y'all. They're going to need it. Julius, I've been home all morning, right? Okay. They're going to need it, y'all. They're going to need some word from the Lord. They don't understand it now. But they will.
Amen, amen.
Father, we thank you for